Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone here. It's always nice to look out and see my fellow brothers and sisters each and every Lord's Day that we're here, and that we're given the opportunity to meet here, to worship, to sing songs of praise, and partake of the Lord's Supper. This past week, a couple weeks ago during spring break, Bridget and I, we took the kids to Discovery Kingdom. And Samuel got to see his first dolphin show. And it'd been a while since we'd been there, and we'd seen it ourselves. And the trainers there are pretty amazing. The way they can make these dolphins do flips and turns. They have these little, on the rails, as you sit around the outside, they have these spray nozzles. And they give some sort of certain command to the dolphins, and the dolphins go up and they touch it with their sprayer, and it sprays the crowd. And it's amazing, just they're able to get these animals to do these tricks, these commands. And the people who train these animals train them to do some pretty wild and crazy things. There was a story once of a couple who had four cats. And then when they would clap their hands, that was the command. And in doing so, the cats would crawl into bed and go to sleep. I also saw on an article once where a farmer had trained a bunch of pigs to wait to eat their slop until he had taken his hat off and offered a prayer. And as soon as the pigs heard amen, they dove in and ate. You might think, where am I going with this? Surely, if dolphins, pigs, cats, and all these types of animals can be trained to do tricks, then children can be trained to be godly. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that raising children is the most rewarding and important task in the world. An English proverb says, children are a poor man's riches. And when this great work is neglected, society as a whole suffers. If we raise a bunch of irresponsible, rowdy, disrespectful children, how then can we have a strong nation? God has granted parents a privilege in bearing children. But with that privilege also comes an awesome responsibility. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. Children, when they are born, they are not born wicked. And a parent's desire is not to have the children grow up just to go visit them in jail or in prison. We as parents do not raise our kids hoping that they will fail at life. What do our children want most from us? Love, of course, would have to be at the top of that list. But what do they want to tell us? In a world that is corrupt and filled with sin, what is it that they seek? In a world and an environment that is pulling them in every direction imaginable, where can they find direction, and where can they find guidance? I feel that our children, they want to talk to us, they want to speak to us, and they want to tell us things. Next year, Hannah will be in high school, and it terrifies me. And I think, have I done my part? Have I set the example and provided the necessary tools for her? Tools that she can not only use to flourish, the tools that allow her to be a light in this dark, dark world. One of the things that I think our kids want to tell us or want us to know is for us as parents to not lose our temper with them. Children need reassurance that comes from a controlled response. Solomon asserted this as a good general rule in life in Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, a few verses down in Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms the dispute. Our children, they deserve to see an example of people who's living a life that has been transformed by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Our children need to see us presenting and possessing the essential qualities of meekness and gentleness. When trouble arises, our children need to see these qualities put to the test. And through our examples of an appropriate and controlled response, they can come to better appreciate them and appreciate us as their parents. Parents who react in rage, losing their temper, they show themselves to be just as troubled as their children are. Why would a child listen and heed counsel from someone who acts this way? During troubled times, young people need parents who will remain calm and help them still the raging waters. Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Rather than demonstrating hot tempers and anger and wrath, we as parents need to show self-control and power. 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul, when he lived, he made every use of every possibility that he had to subdue his sinful desires. There's no doubt that we can surely think of situations in which our children may face. Situations where self-control that they learn from their parents can be a benefit to them. Another thing that I think our children want to tell us or want us to know is to show them who's boss. Contrary to popular belief, most children want their parents to be strict. They want parents who are consistent and fair in disciplining and handing out discipline. Children need the security of specific boundaries, and they need to know that there's going to be consequences for going over those lines. And the parents who do not discipline their children, they fail to provide family leadership. In doing so, they demonstrate a failure to love. Proverbs 13, 24. Proverbs 13, 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The discipline must start when they are young, and it has to continue. It has to be consistent throughout the teen years as well. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. So then how does a 110-pound mother handle a 220-pound 16-year-old? That is done by disciplining him when he weighed 20 pounds. In addition to wisdom, which Solomon possessed, and which he received from God, he had the benefit of his ancestors' experience from reinforcing these truths. Eli did not restrain his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 30 through 34. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 30 through 34. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see the distress of my dwelling in spite of all the good that I do for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping and your soul grieve. And all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. This will be the sign to which you will come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day, both of them will die. Samuel's untaught sons, Joel and Abiah, were not much better. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. 1 Samuel chapter 8, 1 through 3. And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and his second Abiah, and they were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. David's failure, his failure to discipline his sons, resulted in one rebelling against his father, one becoming a rapist, and one revolting against the new king, Solomon. Solomon was well acquainted with the trouble that a parent brings upon himself and his children. So is the case when discipline is not properly exercised. I'm sure most of us know someone who is setting themselves up for a life of misery. And not only are they setting themselves up for a life of misery, but their children as well, by not restraining them and setting boundaries. We have all seen this type of behavior and the lack of control as we go throughout and we visit society in the malls and the stores, where a screaming child throws such a fit, they throw such a tantrum, that mom or dad, they just give in, and they give the child the toy or the candy that they were screaming about. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. It's not always easy to accept or provide discipline. Hebrews 12, 11. Hebrews 12, 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. But a failure to discipline will be far more bitter and heartbreaking. It will save us a ton of stress and worry to correct behaviors when our children are 3 and 4 than it will be once they reach their teens. If you catch your kids lying, cheating, stealing, swearing, drinking, then discipline them. But also let them know that you love them, even when they let you down. When our children disappoint us the most is when we need to love them the most. I know that after I have had to scold Hannah or Darren, that I let them know how much it hurts me to do so, how much it saddens me that I have to, that I don't like doing it, but that I will do it if necessary. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here who remembers their parents saying the words, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And I laughed and I thought that my dad was crazy when he said that. And it wasn't until I had kids of my own and had to discipline them that I fully understood what he meant. When our children misbehave, we have an opportunity to teach them by example an important quality of God. That he loved us and that he extended his hand of mercy while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love did not lead him to overlook our sin or easily dismiss it, but it did lead him to provide a way of escape from sin. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As well as in Acts 3, verse 19. "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And in Acts 22, verse 16. "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Being tough and being loving are not mutually exclusive, but they are great complements of one another. We as parents need to pray for wisdom. James 1:5-7. James 1:5-7. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For a man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." A wise parent will know just how far to go in calling their child's bluff. There was a story once of a mother of 3 boys who once said that her sons were threatened to run away from home. So she asked them the reasons and then decided to join them. And needless to say, they stayed home and they never used that threat again. Another thing that I think our children want to tell us or want us to know is to provide a candle for them. Provide light for them. Children are looking for a genuine spiritual dimension in their lives. And when we as parents, when we have the spiritual interest and the foresight to provide our children with tender care, with that care, it includes education, training, and discipline, as well as provide admonishment, which is literally putting in the mind a warning or reminder which will correct but not provoke. when we do these things, and we do these things in the realm which the Lord instructs us to do so, it is when we will be able to provide them that candle, provide that light for them. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A big part of this process will involve sparking the spiritual curiosity of children so that they will develop into lights of the world. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Just as when our children are growing, they need a balanced diet of food that they can eat, our children also need to be nourished and fed a steady diet of good spiritual food. They need to be taught specifically about immorality and false doctrine, that we make our appeals to the scriptures and not to the wisdom of men, to where we show them in the Bible where certain actions are forbidden, to show them where they are held accountable to God. God called upon the fathers of Israel to provide their children with knowledge of him and his ways. Deuteronomy 6:7-9. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God calls upon the fathers to teach their children important spiritual lessons. They need to know that God made them and that life is sacred. They need to know of His Son and how He loved us and how He died to redeem us from sin. They need to know of His church. They need to know the functions in which they can have in that church. We need to give our children something that they can strive for. They really do want you as their parent, and they want you to be someone that they can look up to. We need to be examples of mature, steadfast children of God to our children. We need to ensure they have a good public education and life skills. But sometimes I think that we fail to ensure that they have a good spiritual education as well, and a home in heaven. And it's sad to see some children that are so completely wrapped up in sports. And instead of their role models being ones like Joshua and Jesus, Ruth, and Paul, and Lois, instead the role models are ungodly people instead of righteous ones. There's an old saying that goes like this. They say you cannot lead a horse to water and make him drink, but you can give him salt and he will find water. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Are we able to say that verse to our children? Our children need and deserve godly parents. And lastly, I think our children want to tell us to be honest with them. Children want to be told the truth and be told the truth on a consistent basis. Just as we as parents can tell when our children are not truthful with us, they know when you're not telling them the truth. All children want their parents to be real and to be trustworthy. If your child cannot trust you, then who can they trust? Don't sugarcoat the world. Don't sugarcoat sin. Tell them like it is. Honesty is an important quality in any relationship, but especially needed in raising up children. And it's been the basic expectation from ages past. Exodus 20, verse 16. Exodus 20, 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And the same concept is also in the law of Christ in Colossians 3, verse 9. Colossians 3, 9. Do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with its evil practices. Dishonesty is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, just as a weight, but a just weight is his delight. Again in Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Children need the trust and the respect from their parents. Trust, once it is broken by dishonest parents, it might not be repairable. We need to be honest and sincere with our children. Samuel was a tremendous example of integrity. 1 Samuel 12, verses 3 through 5. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you. They said, you have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand. He said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness to this day that you have found nothing in my hand. And they said, he is witness. Dishonest parents will raise dishonest children. Hypocritical parents will likewise raise another generation of hypocrites. What do you think a child would do when he sees his father waiting on the table on the Lord's Day and then cursing on a Monday? Children are like sponges. They soak up everything. What kind of example have we presented for them? Our children's souls, they count. They are not just another number. Certainly, we as parents, we have a daunting task set before us. But when we are armed with the sword of the Spirit, we can be parents that our children will want to hear, want to follow, and want to obey. When parents work hard to ingrain good habits, good morals, good attitudes, and good works, then we as parents have good reason to believe that our children will grow up to be good. Hebrews 11:7 tells us that Noah saved his house, and likewise we can do the same. God is the perfect parent, but Isaiah 30 verse 1 says that his children rebelled against him. We're all going to make mistakes, and we may even have children who will not listen no matter how hard we try. But we can only pray to God that he will forgive us of our mistakes that we made, and hope that one day our children who rebel against us will repent and come to their senses. I was talking with Dwight during our weekly meeting, and he brought up a good scripture, and that is Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The very livelihood of this church and every church of Christ depends on our children. The future of this congregation is extremely important and fragile. If we as men of this congregation do not step up and lead, then how can we expect our children to do so? We must set the example for them to follow. We have to do more. We have to lead, and we have to assume roles in this congregation. So that not only will this congregation grow, but we as individuals will grow as well. If we simply show up and warm the seats of the pew, What are we doing for the Lord? How is that serving? How is that growing in our faith? We need more than a handful of men who are willing to step up and take on these roles and these responsibilities of this congregation. We as men and as fathers, we need to step up and start assuming roles. Roles and positions that we as faithful Christian men are told to do so from the scriptures. Each man should strive to be more, to do more, to be a deacon, to be an elder one day. We should not be content with just sitting in a pew. If we, as the men and the fathers, do not, then I can promise you that the Rockville Church of Christ will surely die. This church will cease to exist in 5 years if we do not take more active role in its growth and its leadership. We have to teach our children. We have to teach them how to lead prayers, how to serve on the Lord's table, even to present lessons by our example of doing them. Our children, they see us as their heroes, as their role models. How can we expect them to do things that we ourselves are not willing to do? It is our children one day who will stand where their fathers once stood. It will be our sons who will step up and take our place. Our daughters who will, by example, marry strong, faithful men capable of leading those who are lost. It is up to us to raise them faithfully in the Lord by our example as parents. They want and they need our guidance in this dark world. They need us to be that shining light for them. Let us, as parents, let us be and let us set that example for them to follow. Let us raise up and bring up the next generation of Christians who will lead and who will direct and serve here in the Rockville Church of Christ. There's a decision to be made today. For those that are lost, for those that have not come to know Christ, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? That he died for you? If so, then are you willing to confess that and be buried with him in baptism? What are you going to do to ensure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What are you going to do to ensure that your home is in heaven? You have one of two choices. You can sit there, continue to be where you are, or you can choose to make a step. Take a step forward, make a change in your life, and become a child of God. It's up to you. God gives you that choice. You can obey him now, or you can refuse and suffer consequences of death after this life is over. I pray and encourage each and every one who is not a child of God to make that decision to come forward and to give your life and to confess and be buried in baptism. For those of us who are Christians, we know that sometimes we slip up, sometimes we make mistakes. But is that relationship with God, us being a child of God, that we have that opportunity to go to him and ask for forgiveness of sins and pray to him for strength, for guidance? If you are in need in any way, then I urge you to come forward as together we stand and sing.